Our next guest on Downtown, a talented comedian and impressionist. He was the first person to be in the casts of both Mad TV and Saturday Night Live. He's the host of a terrific podcast, The Jeff Richards Show. We are happy to be joined this afternoon by the talented Jeff Richards.
Happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
I've enjoyed your work for quite some time. Well, going back to the days of Mad TV and SNL, you made history as the first person to appear as a cast member on both shows. Is there a plaque for that? Is it like a WWE belt? What do you get?
No, it's the same kind of treatment as you get for, you know, being the 10th person at a Denny's and getting $2 off a Grand Slam. No, I'm kidding. It's cool. Taryn Killam did it after me, and it was exciting to be on both shows. So, you know, it was a great experience.
Absolutely. Now, we talked with Lorraine Newman a while back and other folks that have been on SNL, and all of them have a story about how they found out they got the job. And it seems that Lorne Michaels is always a little vague and sort of leaves you wanting to ask, do I actually have the job? Am I in the cast?
Well, I knew I had the job because we were in the hot tub together, and that doesn't happen with everybody. We were soaking ourselves, and I don't even remember if there was a towel involved, but no. What was the question? I'm sorry. Something involved about something. What were we saying?
Just how did you find out you had the job? Because I guess Michaels can be a little vague about that with people.
Well, what I did was I didn't know where we were going with it, if he was just telling me like had a good audition or whatever. So I just said, will I get a computer? Just thinking, well, he's not just going to give me a computer if I didn't get the job.
Right.
So, and he goes, yeah, you'll get a computer. And then I went, okay, I didn't get an official confirmation, but that's pretty close. And then I found out I got it afterwards. Yeah.
Who's the inspiration for Drunk Girl?
Well, that's based on my father.
It's a beautiful tribute.
You know, really, most people are the inspiration for Drunk Girl. You know, and it's like, because I never really drank much, so people that drank around me were more annoying. So pretty much girls and guys are pretty much pretty similar when they get, you know, a little obnoxious. So I did it in a stand-up set, and that's where I came up with the bit. I was there was a woman in the audience who wouldn't stop yelling at me, so I just became her and did her to her and battled out that way. And I basically said, nothing stops a truly drunk girl, you just have to get out of the way, you know.
Was she aware that you were doing her?
You know, she might not have been. You know, I never got a chance to talk to her, but she might not have been aware that she was even at a comedy show.
Yeah, it's funny. My wife doesn't drink, and I've asked her, and she doesn't really answer me directly here. If you're not drinking and there are those people around you who are, do they ever become funny, or is it just always annoying?
Well, I guess different shapes, different sizes, different types of people, just depends. It's all luck of the draw. But if you're sober and you're sitting there sober and they get more and more plastered, you know, they're just going the wrong way for the meeting, you know.
We're talking with Jeff Richards here on Downtown. The podcast, The Jeff Richards Show. It's absolutely brilliant. How did you come up with that idea?
Well, I always wanted to do a show with doing impressions because that's mainly what I do. And I just didn't know what to do for so long or how to make it original or anything. But then with COVID happening and more people on the Zoom, it was easier to get guests, so I thought, well, I could get guests easier, and then you could deep fake it later if it's, you know, just two camera. Because the deep fakes, you have to look, you can't look left or right too much. You have to be kind of straight on. So with the camera and looking straight on was kind of perfect to deep fake it. So it all came together with COVID.
Now, the technology is incredible. Do you create those deep fakes yourself?
No, a gentleman named Scott Welsh does it in Florida, and he just does a great job, and he's amazing. So he does all that. You know, it takes him a few days after we shoot it to apply all the computer stuff.
Well, this is a tribute to you and to him, because I watched a bunch of the videos, and there were several cases where, until I checked the credits, I really wasn't sure. And the one that I had the most trouble with was Dustin Hoffman, because it was such a brilliant impression. Not everybody does Dustin Hoffman. I think that's what...
Not everybody wants to. There was a long hallway. We didn't know where we were going. We tried to go around it. We didn't know what we were doing. We got a milk toast sandwich. Yeah.
That was brilliant. Tracy Morgan, no idea. That was that one had us fooled as well. But
I wasn't Tracy.
No, I know.
Dean Edwards was Tracy Morgan. Yeah. No, if I was Tracy Morgan, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
And then if you were, we would be on a delay, just to be on the safe side here.
There you go. Either way.
What's the key to you with some of these impressions you do, and they're all so good? I love the fact, too, that they're unusual and that not everybody does them, and they're all very subtle. Is there a key word or a phrase that helps you get into each one of those different celebrity characters?
It just depends on the one, you know, how I came to the impression in the first place. So if it was like a movie, so with like Patrick Bateman, Patrick Bateman in American Psycho, that was Christian Bale's character. That's where I came up with that. I wasn't doing a Christian Bale.
Right.
I was doing that character. So lines from the movie get you into like kind of how they think a little bit. And then say things that they might say. That's what I like doing. Say things that they might say. Not just say things that you've heard them say a million times before, but say things that kind of makes you forget that someone's impersonating them, I guess.
Your Robert Downey Jr., I love. He seems to operate on, a different plane than the rest of us.
Well, it's like cosmos. It's like, you know, this eccentricity and like life and space and metaphors and things like that. You know, it's like... It's like, you know, remember Kajagoogoo? Kajagoogoo had a great start and then became, just basically like, Pinwood.
Oh, it is fantastic. And Letterman, and you do such a great Letterman. I don't know that I've ever seen anybody else do it. What's the key to finding David Letterman?
You know, it's just about resting at some particular point, having something that he wants to say. I don't know what. It doesn't quite matter. And then, of course, the laugh. You would hope at some point, I don't know when, they'd put some ice into the water. Who knows?
Hannibal Lecter, I don't know. I don't want to diss Sir Anthony Hopkins, but I find yours even more powerful and convincing.
Well, thank you. That's very sweet of you to say. I like to call delis up and crank call him as Hannibal Lecter, you know. Tell me about your tuna fish salad sandwich. How much mayonnaise do you use? And don't lie, I'll know. Cut off a man's crust, you say, you can still feel it tickling. Tell me, when your little crumbs on the kitchen floor, where will it tickle you?
We were talking with Jeff Richards on Downtown. So many episodes of the podcast out there. They are great. What's the reaction been from some of the real folks that you've done?
A pretty good reaction from a few of them that have seen it. I think Louis Anderson liked it a lot. We did Louis Anderson a couple times, once with Bill Burr, once with Tommy Chong. Chong, not Connie Chung, Tommy Chong. Chong, sorry. But yeah, I mean, like, it's hot in here. You just really, well, you make me think, he said to me, you make me seem a little more pathetic than I already am. But I don't care, I like it. You ready to play the feud?
We had Siobhan Fallon Hogan on our show last week. That was the real her that was on with you.
Yeah. With Letterman, yeah.
And Baldwin? Was that actually Alec Baldwin? Again, I don't know.
Yeah, we had Alec Baldwin early on. I got Alec to do it. I did an impression of him and somehow got it to him. And he said yes. So he did the show, and I did Robert Downey Jr. with him. And he was fun, too, because he would challenge me. He'd put me in the corner. He's like, oh, really? I don't do a great Alec Baldwin, but it's like, I want to hear that thing you did before. I want to hear that thing you did. Do it one more time. You know, when you had your career and you splattered everywhere, you know, you went all over the ground. You know, sort of thing.
Some
of them I'm not ready to do on the show because they're just not. You got to be able to say a lot of things as them. You don't want to break, you know.
Right, right. Well, what are you working on? Are there any that you're not quite ready to reveal that are works in progress that you could tell us about?
Well, I think I'm going to do Harlan Williams with Jesse Pinkman from Breaking Bad again.
Which was great.
You know, I have Bobby Lee this week. I don't know if he's going to, I don't know what his schedule's like. I know he's shooting something. We're going to get Bobby Lee in there too. But yeah, so just, you know, we do two a month, one every 2 weeks. So we're doing about a week and a half.
When you're working on a new impersonation, do you know pretty quickly whether or not you're going to get it? And then how long does it take to really get it down to your satisfaction?
That's a good question. I guess it just depends on the voice. It depends if it's something similar to what I've already done. Like doing Christian Bale Patrick Bateman. That was easier to do because I used to do my friend, an impersonation of my friend who sounded like that. So when I said, oh, really? It's really great. Thanks. I have to return some videotapes. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, so that sounded similar, so that helped me get into it. Yeah.
Are you back doing live shows?
Yeah, I do them. I don't know. The traveling has just kind of put me off a little bit. I just know it's really tough to travel now, and things are always delayed. And so I've kind of put it off a little bit. I did one gig in Iowa, a special kind of thing. But I guess I'm kind of trying to delay that a little bit. I want to do the show, and I'd really ultimately like to do the show. And then maybe, you know, when the flying gets a little bit better, maybe do more flying.
Sure. It
gets a little more safe, I guess.
You can check out Jeff's work. Podcasts available on Apple and all podcast platforms. Visit his website, too, at tastyjeff.com. Is there a story behind Tasty Jeff?
No, that was just an early, you know, work in the streets as a young man, and I came up with that name. It's just a strange, strange thing. But I think in the late 90s, that was a normal name for a website.
Well, it works now, too. It's great. Enjoy your work so much, Jeff. Thank you so much for being with us today. We wish you continued success and hope you'll come back again sometime.
Thank you. I'd like to just say my Instagram is The Jeff Richards.
That's easy to find, but we'll make sure we get it up.
Okay. Thank you.
Jeff Richards, The Jeff Richards Show, a great podcast. It will blow your mind. Check that out and watch that. Thanks to Jeff for being with us here this afternoon.